Good to be with all of you this morning, especially on our Baptism Sunday. Now, if you've been with us, you know that in the second week of our revival series throughout the month of November, and last week, if you weren't here, I talked about the need for revival of courage, especially following up from our October Missions Month, looking at asking God to help us choose faith over fear in our circumstances, in our conversations, and in our ongoing commitment to His mission. Now today, since it's Baptism Sunday, the Lord has impressed upon my heart a different type of revival, a revival from death to life, a revival from death to life. Earlier this week, I was actually listening to a podcast with a guest by the name of Joanna Epstein, who's an author and explores and studies the topic of death. And in this interview, she talked about how uncomfortable our culture is with death. She said most Americans avoid thinking or talking about death. And she's right. I mean, think about the last time you had a conversation or deep conversation with a friend about the topic of death. Regardless of your age, whether you're young or old, it's not common. But then she made a striking point. She said coming to terms with death actually helps us to appreciate life a little bit more deeply. It helps us live with a bit more gratitude and purpose in our everyday life. Now, after listening, I started to think about what the Bible says about death. And immediately my mind went to Ezekiel chapter 37, the vision of the valley of dry bones. The vision of the valley of dry bones. And in that story, God brings to life what was completely dead. A valley before us filled with dry and scattered bones, but through the prophet Ezekiel's faithful proclamation, the bones come together, flesh covers them, and the breath of God fills them to have life again. What was dead now lives again. Now, this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, not only because it reveals God's power to bring life out of death, but it also points to the divine pattern that we will see later in baptism in the afternoon. In baptism, we also witness where people were once dead in their sin, but they are now being raised to new life in Christ. So today, I have a word of encouragement for us as a church on how God revives us, taking us from death to life. And for those who are being baptized today as well, that today is going to be a powerful spiritual reality in your lives, the experience of being buried, but rising and experiencing new life in Christ. So today I have a message titled, Revived from Death to Life. Revived from Death to Life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the work of the Spirit. We thank you that it is touching lives and causing us to be born again. And Lord, as we come together, as we seek your face, help us to continue this series strong with the heart of revival, to see this nation, this city, our families, our neighborhoods change and transformed by the power of the gospel. Lord, we believe that you're a God of miracles, that you continue to miraculously work in people's lives, causing them to come alive through your word and spirit. Lord, we pray and press in that you continue to do that good work in all of us this morning and for the years to come. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 1999, a movie was released starring Brendan Fraser called The Mummy. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the movie is basically a bunch of explorers that stumble into an ancient tomb and they accidentally awake a long-dead priest. So the air starts to shift, the sand begins to stir, and suddenly, what was lifeless starts to move. The impossible happens. Something long dead begins to breathe again. Now, I remember watching that movie when I was just 11 years old. My parents actually let me watch it at that time. I was both thrilled and terrified. And I still recall thinking, wow, imagine if that really took place in the tombs of Egypt. Wouldn't that be awesome? Where bones gathered together and they came to life. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Fast forward 20 years later, when Riff and I went to Universal Studios in LA, the very first ride that we went on was The Revenge of the Mummy. Why? Because I wanted to bring back all those memories as a kid. The excitement, the tension, the sand, the imagination of something ancient coming back to life. Now you see, no matter how cool or mysterious this movie was as a young boy, no matter how realistic or thrilling the theme park ride was for Riff and I know this is not real. It's pure Hollywood fantasy. The idea of something lifeless, buried for centuries, suddenly walking again, it's unbelievable. This morning, in one of the books of the Old Testament, God actually shows the prophet Ezekiel something that sounds just as unbelievable, but this time it's real. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, God takes his prophet Ezekiel into a valley filled with dry bones, not just dead, but long gone, scattered, lifeless, hopeless. But then something incredible happens. God speaks his word, his breath goes forth, the bones begin to rattle, flesh starts to form, and what was once dead stands to its feet, a vast army fully alive again. You see, what special effects can only imagine on a movie screen, God actually does in the heart of his people in Israel. He takes what's spiritually dead and breathes life into it. He restores hope where there was despair. He revives what was once lost. That's what we're going to explore this morning. As we seek God in this season of our church, my prayer is that we would long for that same revival, that God would take all of us who were once dead in our sins and breathe life into us so that we can stand and walk with our God-given identity. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 14. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Well, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together, attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones, all hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people. I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." Now, here's a little bit of background to what's happening. This vision comes from a very dark chapter in Israel's history, the Babylonian exile. So in 597 BC, Babylonian's armies conquered Jerusalem and carried its king and leaders into exile. 10 years later, after another rebellion, the Babylonians returned. They destroyed the city, the temple, and deported even more people during this time. So among the first captives was a young priest by the name of Ezekiel, whom God later called as a prophet in Babylon. Now for the exiles and those who have lost their homes, the future felt like a big black hole. Everything that once defined them as God's people were gone. Their sister kingdom, Israel, had fallen long before, and its people disappearing into history as the lost tribes. So this was more than a national crisis for God's people. It was a crisis of faith. The core symbols of their belief, Jerusalem, the temple, the people, the Davidic king, were all gone. And many wondered if God would have been defeated by the Babylonian gods, questioning whether the Lord was truly powerful or faithful at all. So in short, in many ways, they lost their culture, their identity as God's people, and everything that they knew was once stripped away. Things couldn't get any worse. And so it's into this context that God steps into the picture and speaks through Ezekiel, the famous vision of a valley of dry bones rising up to take their place. He's showcasing his power to recreate a community that was once lost. So we're told from verses 1 from the get-go, the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. God takes Ezekiel into this valley full of dry bones. And as we see this picture of the dry bones, it suggests that there has been a great battle. And the aftermath is a landscape full of dry bones. It's an awful sight to behold. The whole valley is littered with bleached skeletons. So you can imagine for Ezekiel seeing this before him. It's what nightmares are made of. It's a very distressing situation. And on top of that, a large part of this horror scene was profoundly theological as well. Because in verse 11, these dry bones represent not only the army, but the whole house of Israel. Not just those who lost their lives on the battlefield. The whole army has been wiped out. In other words, meaning both the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel. Now, reading this, I think in some ways, many of us can identify with this picture of dry bones. Maybe we look at our neighborhood. Maybe we look at our relationships. Our own spiritual life. It's scattered. It's hopeless. There's no life in those areas. It's a distressing situation. That's the scene that Ezekiel is confronted with. These bodies have been picked clean now, desiccated and parched and bleached in the hot, dry valley. Then God asks Ezekiel this very important question. He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Isn't that an interesting question from God, who already knows the answer? He says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, the obvious answer for Ezekiel is, of course not. There's absolutely no way these bones can come to life. But Ezekiel knows who God is. And his answer is actually very interesting. He said, God, only you know. Only you know, God. What a smart way to answer God. Because he's acknowledging that the Lord can make it happen. Ezekiel had faith over the situation. It was not hopeless in his sight because he knew God was in the picture. Then what happens next? God commands Ezekiel to do what may seem pointless to many people, to preach over these dry bones, to proclaim promises over them. What are these promises? Look with me at Ezekiel 36, verses 22 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 to 27. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. Verse 25, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender and responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. First, God is going to restore the land. Second, he's going to have a great reversal from spiritual death into resurrection life by giving a new heart and spirit. And he's showing us that he's doing a complete reversal of their present circumstances. God coming down, doing the absolute impossible. Why on earth would God do this? What's his purpose in showing Ezekiel this valley of dry bones? First, it's for his people to know that he is Yahweh, that he is the one true God. And for his people to see that they have a renewed relationship with this covenant God and to showcase that he is a God who fulfills his own promises. This is important. Think about why would God come into the scene of a desolate wasteland? Ultimately, it's to show people that he's God and for them to experience life again and to show that he's a God of promise. This is great, isn't it? As I think about how we can apply this in our own lives, in our own situations, in our own battle of sin, in our own weakness of our flesh, in the brokenness of our relationships, our marriages, our anxieties, our loneliness in the Bay Area, we can rest confident that God will always come and do that good work in us because he wants us to know who he is and he intends for us to live life to the fullest. Going on, Ezekiel records that he was obedient to Yahweh's instructions. He obeyed, he took that step of faith, preaching to the valley of dry bones. It's very interesting. If today God called me and said, Ben, go to this wasteland, preach to these dry bones, I would be like, you got to be joking me. That's what a waste of time, right? Ezekiel took that step of faith, he prophesied, he preached. And as he did that, sounds. He started to hear sounds and quaking by the movements of these bones clicking together. With precision and speed, they all came together in their right place. Flesh started to feel them, every detail, every point. God started to revive them. God started to bring muscles and sinus and started to put flesh into their bones. It also shows us that when God comes and does that work of revival, from start to finish, it's a complete work of God. Only God can bring to life what was once dead. Only His Spirit can raise up these dry bones, whether that's a broken people, a struggling church, or anyone who is weary this morning. It's God's divine initiative and God's divine power that can revive us. What an incredible message of hope for Ezekiel and for us today. When God's word is faithfully proclaimed, it has the power to bring life where there was once none. The same word that raised dry bones in Ezekiel's vision can transform all of our hearts today, turning spiritual death into newness of life in Christ. It's not just the word of God, but it's also the Spirit of God. The bones only lived when there was breath. The Spirit entered them, and the same Spirit empowers all of us today as faithful believers to live out victoriously in our lives. And today, friends, that's where our confidence lies. That's where our confidence needs to rest. That's what we should be anticipating and believing about revival, because revival is that when God comes and does that divine work in all of us, restoring what was once lost and reviving our community back to its fullest. I believe in this season and in our generation, as we seek the face of God, as we press into prayer with expectation, as the leaders faithfully preach the word, as we open ourselves to the Spirit, we will experience a revival. God will come and restore what was once lost in this church. You see, what God accomplished through His prophet Ezekiel that day, He's still able to do and continues to do in all of us. So I want to quickly remind us this morning from today's story a couple lessons for each and every one of us. First one is this: we were or maybe still are the dry bones. We were or maybe still are the dry bones. You see, at one stage of our lives, all of us, before experiencing God's favor and grace, we were once spiritually lifeless, powerless to revive ourselves, stuck in our own ways, the desires of our flesh, walking in the paths of disobedience. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that we were once dead in our transgressions and sins, totally lifeless and unresponsive to the things of God. We were just like those bones in that valley, spiritually unresponsive, totally defeated without any hope whatsoever. You see, I often wonder why God doesn't just make us alive. If God is all-powerful, all-knowing, why doesn't He just make us alive from the very get-go? Wouldn't all our problems be solved in humanity? There'll be no sin, no brokenness. Everything will be all well and dandy. But I think God brings us into this state of deadness, of hopelessness, to that dry valley to invite us into something new, to showcase what kind of God He is. And in our dead and lifeless state, God being rich in mercy and love, second, God speaks His word and life awakens. God speaks His word and life awakens. In Ezekiel 37, 4-5, God tells Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones and they will live. Life begins when the very word of God is spoken. When the word of God goes forth, it starts to rekindle and stir in people's hearts an awakening. Why? Because there is power in the word of God. It's not just pages of ancient writing. God's word is its own breath coming out. It offers life and it offers truth. Today, God's word still speaks into those dry areas. Maybe our marriages feel dead. Maybe the way we parent is feeling hopeless. Maybe there's faith that's feeling faint, hearts that feel numb towards church or to others. Maybe you're feeling a bit lifeless in your own situation before you. I know it's a very common thing in the Bay Area. On Friday, I was having some chats with a few friends, and they were just opening up about the pressures of living in the Bay. But here's the beauty of it all. When we read the Word of God, when we listen to the Word of God, God is speaking directly to us. And when He speaks, every part of our bones and senses start to quake and start to rattle because we are starting to respond back to our Creator. We're given life again. Hopeless situations in us and around us start to fade away at the truth of who He is. Third, the Spirit breathes and the dead are raised to life. The Spirit breathes and the dead are raised to life. In Ezekiel's visions, the bones come together. But what's interesting is that there was no breath in them until the Spirit came. Friends, the same breath of God that brought Adam to life also brought Ezekiel's dry bones to life, breathed the Holy Spirit unto the disciples in the upper room, and inspired every word of the Bible, is the same Spirit that can take us all from our dead state to stand to live again, with power, with purpose and direction. I find it so interesting that when God, through His Spirit, revives people, very interesting, He doesn't just revive nice or ordinary people. In verse 10, look with me then, Ezekiel 37, verse 10. They stood up on their feet, a vast army. A vast army. That's the key. You see, when the Spirit breathes, God doesn't just raise ordinary people. He raises people filled with courage, with conviction, with authority to step into dark and barren places with bold faith. That's what God does. He doesn't raise just nice people. He raises a vast army of God's people. You see, it actually reminds me of something that happened with my daughter this week, Erin. She just started preschool for the first time. And as parents, as first-time parents, you know, you dread the first week of preschool, because if your kids have separation anxiety, if they're scared of leaving and whatnot, and I've been told by other parents there's a lot of crying, right? And there's a lot of changes in how they eat and interact, because all this is new. They're being separated from their parents. And so, and Erin's also scared of leaving us as well. So I used to tease her. I said, don't be a chicken, right? Don't be a chicken. Last week, I said, my dad, that's the way he taught me. Don't be a chicken. Don't be a chicken. So I told Erin, don't be a chicken, all right? Don't be a chicken. Every time in Awana, in Sunday school, and in preschool this week, I said, don't be a chicken, okay? Don't be a chicken. And so she decided to walk in courage. She walked to the front door of the preschool. And to my surprise, to my shock, she turned around, gave me a thumbs up, waved goodbye, and walked straight in. No tears, no drama. I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. The teacher said, you can go now. Okay, so I left. Later that day, when I picked her up, I told her, wow, you were so courageous today. I talked to her in China. I said, you were so brave today. How young are you today? And she said, Baba, I'm not a chicken. I'm a monster. She says, Dad, I'm not a chicken anymore. I'm a monster. And I laughed and I thought, isn't that exactly what happens when the Spirit of God breathes life into us? We go from timid to bold, from fearful to fearless, from spiritual lifeless to standing tall with power and purpose. God's Spirit, in some ways, in a funny way, turns us from chickens into warriors. Why? Because His Spirit comes and touches our spirit. He gives us purpose and direction in all that we do. And that's what I want for us as a church today. Not just to be alive, but to be alive with courage. Because we can have all the right programs. We can have all the right structure, all the polish. But without the Spirit, we have no life. We need His breath to make us stand and move forward like soldiers of light in this generation. So my freaking prayer every morning is that we as a church will long for that same revival. That God will breathe His Spirit into us so that our homes, our hearts, and our city might come alive with soldiers for Jesus, marching towards their eternal destiny. Today, as we witness baptisms later, we see the same miracle in motion. What was once dead stands alive now in Christ through baptism. Through His word and through His breath, He's causing people to come alive again. And so on that note, this morning, I want to invite three people getting baptized to share their testimonies of how God is reviving hearts and how He's calling people to Himself through His word and through His Spirit. So I invite Tyrus, Aaron, and Ariana. Today, these three will be getting baptized. So Tyrus, he's up first. I know he's very shy. But today, they're going to share their testimonies, because later in our baptism ceremony, we're just going to go straight into baptism because to save time, and we're going to have them share their testimonies. We also have Zach, who's also getting baptized in our English ministry, but he'll be sharing his testimony in the Chinese side. So that's wonderful what God is doing. So we have four people getting baptized this round. So Tyrus, you're up.
Growing up in Singapore, I was always raised as a Christian. My parents raised me in the church from a young age. I was taught Bible stories, how to pray, and what it meant to follow God. When I moved to America, things changed. I continued going to church, but there were fewer people my age, and like everything was in Chinese. Church stopped being like a place where I could feel like a sense of belonging. I started to like lose interest in like God as a result. Like I started to grow distant with God. A few years later, my parents then brought me to Hakone, where I started to connect with others. However, when COVID hit, I was slowly like growing distant from God again. Since I grew up knowing Jesus, I can't really say like what my life was like without him. Not being able to gather with others in person made it easy, however, for me to drift, and I found myself struggling to pray and read the Bible consistently. Because I grew up knowing about Jesus, I can't really point to a time. Over time, God opened my eyes to what it truly means to that Jesus died on the cross for me. Jesus gave up everything so that I could have a relationship with God and so that my sins could be forgiven. Understanding this sacrifice has changed how I see everything. It's helped me become more patient and forgiving with myself and both myself and others. Even knowing all this, I still struggle with discipline, especially with managing my time and staying focused on God. But Jesus continually reminds me and guides me back. I'm thankful to my parents and Kevin, who consistently encouraged me to pray and stay connected. Now I wish to get baptized as a declaration of my faith and commitment to serve God.
When I grew up, I wasn't really grateful for the life I lived. I remember on one Sunday when my mother took me to church for the very first time. At first, I didn't know what the people around me were doing, but gradually, I started to understand the importance and significance of God and Jesus Christ. The more times I went to church, the more I felt dedicated to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I really wish to express my lovely feelings about Jesus and how much I love and worship him. Sometimes I would find it hard to go to church because of negative influences and other events. My friends and family at church persuaded me to go, and it surprisingly motivated me and allowed me to go to church. Thanks to my mother for bringing me to church to know the message and my friends to help me greatly along my journey. I hope Jesus Christ can continue to make my life blossom and to assist me in loving everyone around me. I wish to be baptized today and to be reborn into Christ. Thank you.
My name is Ariana, and I was born into a semi-Christian family with my mom's side being. When I was younger, I didn't really pay attention to Sunday school, and always thought I'll just remember that for next time. And I thought that God was just a magical figure who helped people in the past and didn't think much about it. It wasn't until after the pandemic when my faith with God became stronger. I felt a sense of responsibility and courage to devote time to God and really get to know him. Back then, I was never really a devoted Christian, but continued to constantly add little changes in my life, including praying more, praying before bed or during other occasions, and reading the Bible more often. Throughout my growing ages as a teenager, I always wanted my way, or I've always thought, why can't other people experience or have the things that I didn't have? But throughout the year, this has taught me that God has his own plans for me, and I am unique. My life before Christ had lots of ups and downs. Not long ago, I was actually feeling really down, and there would be constant Friday nights where I would show up but just stay in the dark room or leave early. I didn't feel like I belonged because I felt there wasn't any point in coming. During baptism class this week, I suddenly felt a pull from God that I should really start coming to church and have responsibility. I knew that I couldn't handle my burdens and that I would need someone to depend and support along the way. Shifting how I lived every day and being able to express myself to someone who would listen brought me a sense of joy and comfort, as well as finding purpose. Some people who pushed me on my faith journey were basically everyone who I've met at church who were really supportive and continued to help me grow closer to God. Thank you.
Today is really a wonderful day because in many ways, we're attending their funerals this afternoon. We're attending their funerals. And the way is because today they are dying, but they're also rising with Christ Jesus. So as we close today, I want to remind all of us that many situations and contexts in our own lives look like a valley of dry bones. But God's word comes and awakens our hearts. His spirit breathes life into what seems hopeless. What he did for Israel, he now does through Christ Jesus, raising the spiritually dead to life again. So for those of you who are getting baptized, this is your real story. This is your real time story. You're testifying to what was once dead in sin, but now you are alive in Christ. And for the rest of us, this is a great invitation to let God's word continue to stir us, to let his spirit breathe upon us, and for us to stand as his revived people, a courageous army, and to go forth into this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that you are reviving hearts, that you are pouring out your spirit, and you are recreating a community for yourself. Lord, in many situations in our own lives, in the brokenness of our sins and the weakness of our flesh, often feels like a valley of dry bones, hopeless, desolate, no life to be seen. But Lord, you being rich in grace and favor, come down and reach out to us. In love, you predestine us to be your sons and daughters. So Lord, we are so grateful. We are full of praise because you are reviving what was once lost. You are recreating us. You are calling us back to our God-given identity and purpose. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the work that you are doing. We thank you for the work that you have already done in many of us, and especially in the work that you are doing in the lives of our baptism candidates this morning. That, Lord, though they were once dead in their sins, by your mercy they are now being made alive in Christ Jesus. Today, as we attend their funeral, we also celebrate with them that they have this newness of life in Christ Jesus, our living hope. Lord, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's worship together.